There are times in which I stop Ephesians on Communion Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, in order to touch on something that involves communion. Today we're going to take communion. And everyone that is involved in the taking of communion is declaring the Lord's death and that they are a disciple of Jesus Christ. The word disciple means follower. We saw in a coordinated point this morning in Sunday school that Jesus taught about discipleship. But there were many times that Jesus taught about discipleship, and this will shock you this morning, for I have chosen a passage where no preacher would dare preach what Jesus taught. Because if they actually taught what Jesus taught, many churches wouldn't be filled with people, because preachers need money. And they teach people today, give me your $1,000 for my plane that I need, and God will bless you 100-fold. That is not what Jesus taught in His Bible about what discipleship is. Discipleship is not giving money to a preacher. Here is what Jesus taught. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, verse 25. The reason why there are so many people that fill churches today is because the preachers, do not preach what Jesus taught about what it means to be His follower. Luke 14, 25 through 35, 11 verses, 10. Now a great multitude followed Him. A lot of followers of Jesus, huh? Great multitude, and Jesus turned around and said, hey, thank you for following me. That's really nice of you. No, He turned to a group of people who were following Jesus. Thousands of people, and here is what He taught. If anyone follows me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Do you hear that from pulpits today? When's the last time a preacher preached what Jesus actually said about following Him? Today it's, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Come forward in the altar call, trust in God's grace, and go live like hell. No preacher that preaches the way I do is going to fill a building. But I'm going to preach you what Jesus really taught. Because when you stand before Jesus, what many people are going to say is, well, Jesus, my preacher never taught me that. I never heard that before. And then the preacher's in a lot of trouble. Jesus says, not only are you to hate your own family, but whoever does not carry his own cross. Now listen, to carry your cross means you're willing to die for Jesus. In Canada, as I said in Sunday school, they've issued a new rule in the territories of Canada. I don't know if they call them states or territories, especially back east, that if a church in the responsive reading preaches 1 Corinthians chapter 5 about activities of people that will not inherit the kingdom of God, you want to go there for a second? I'll show you. 1 Corinthians, go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11 must be removed from responsive readings of churches or the government will go at them. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And some of you were, but you are washed, but you are sanctified. And the Canadian government said you cannot even have that in a responsive reading. Now, I don't go out of my way to preach those kind of verses, but if I was preaching 1 Corinthians, guess what I would do? I would preach it. But I'm not going to go out of my way to pick on people. We're all sinners, yes? There's another one. Go to Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21 has been told by the Canadian government, you cannot put it in your Bible. Remove it. Do not mention it in your church services, or we will go after you as a government. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, of things of which I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Canadian government said, get that out of your Bible, or we will go after you. And the person that wrote this article then gave several instances in which America is coming close to that. So on this holiday, more prayer than celebration needs to happen. Now that's what we're facing. Jesus said, going back to Luke, Jesus said, you're willing to carry your cross. The word cross means you're willing to die for him, because that's what they use crosses for. They didn't use it to ward off vampires. That's a myth. Crosses were, he's saying this, you will die for Jesus more than you'd love your own life. I've told you what happens in Korea. I told my group in Bible study this morning. In Korea, North Korea, families are Christian. Believe it or not, in North Korea there are many Christian, precious Christian Koreans. Kim Jong-un and his father and his grandfather have a camp right up on the border with China. All Christians that are discovered to be such, the whole family, grandparents, mothers and fathers and the children are put in these camps. And we have people that have escaped from them to report. Here's what they do. They say to the grandparents, forsake Jesus. And if the grandparents do it, the whole family will fall in line, because in the Oriental society, families are very strong. Today, the media and the psychological operation against families in America is such, we're all split. And in that culture, the grandparents are brought in with their kids and the kids' kids of their kids. You know what I mean? So the little babies, the grandchildren are brought in front of the grandparents, and so are the children of the parents, and babies are put on the floor. They tell the grandparent, forsake Jesus, publicly renounce him. They go, no, and the soldier takes his boot and crushes the baby's skull right in front of the grandparents and parents of that little baby. Then they take the parents of that baby and they say to the grandparents, forsake, renounce Jesus. They put a gun to the head of the kids who had that baby, of the grandparents' family. Renounce Jesus. They don't. They shoot them in the head right in front of the grandparents. Then they take the grandparents, it's reported, and next to the camp, they march them over to a place where Kim Jong-un and others want to make sure that their chemical warfare systems work, or their experimental systems. They put the grandparents that refuse to renounce Jesus into these buildings where they release the gases to make sure that the gas is effective, and then the guards laugh as these people die horribly for Jesus. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must be willing to take up your cross and come after me. And then he said, if you're not willing, look what verse 27 says. You what? Cannot be. So he's telling a multitude, you want to follow me, you looky-loos? He's nice to him. He's gentle. You want to follow me? Then you have to love me more than your moms and dads, your kids. You want to follow me? If they want to kill you because you're my disciple, you're willing to die? Would that fill churches with warm fuzzies? That's what Jesus taught. He wasn't this long-haired hippie. Peace, man. He was a man's man. But it gets more. For which of you, when he builds a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost? In other words, Jesus is saying this. How many of you ever purchased a home? How much can you afford? They ask you. What's your credit rating? How much money can you put down? Can you afford this monthly mortgage payment? Jesus was saying, just like you want to build a house and figure out how much you can afford, you count the cost, because if you're not willing to pay this price, you can't be my disciple. Count the cost. How about that for a Billy Graham? How about that for a Billy Graham come forward? I never heard Billy Graham ever, and I'm not criticizing, I've never heard any altar call say, count the cost before you come forward. It's usually, God has a wonderful plan. You're saved by God's grace, and we'll baptize you, and they have no idea. You need to count the cost before you follow Jesus. Now, that's why churches aren't filled with this. That's why you don't have preachers doing this. What do you see on television today? And I'm ashamed to be a preacher. You have preachers today that just want a jet, a big house, a big car, and tell you, give me your money, and you're a disciple of Jesus by giving you money. Jesus said, count the cost if you're going to follow me. And don't become my disciple. Otherwise, when you get that home and the foundation is laid, you won't have the money. You won't be able to finish it. Or what king, verse 31, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, does not first take counsel with his generals and others and saying, can we defeat this enemy? If not, don't go to war. What's he saying? Count the cost of what it means to follow me. So therefore, not one of you can be my disciple, verse 33, who does not give up all of his possessions. Okay? Suppose one day in America, and I think it's coming, and I don't want to scare you, we're not there yet, but here's what they're telling schools where I work. You want government grants? And that's how most Christian schools get kids scholarships and everything else. The government gives them all sorts of grants. Student loans. You see, the elites were not stupid when they did this. So now most Christian schools must have government student loans or government money for scholarships, or their kids can't be there. And so now they're starting to tell schools and demanding, and it hasn't taken hold yet, give it time, where if you don't do certain things that the government wants, follow government rules of hiring, and hiring means you hire non-Christians as well as Christians, and you don't discriminate on the basis of religion like the government tells you you can't do, we're going to let you be open, but guess what? We're going to cut off from you. Money. I know this, that I would say 90% of basic Bible-believing schools will be closed. That's how the elites are planning to do this. They're not going to violate the school's rights. They're just going to remove the government money, and the whole thing will collapse. None of you can be my disciple. Then here's what schools will face. Will the faculty be willing to preach or teach and preach and do these things for free? They won't have any money. He says, unless you give up all your possessions. And then he said this, the salt is good, but even if that salt has become tasteless. What do you mean, Jesus? It means this. Every disciple says they're salt and light to the world. But if you don't really pay the cost of discipleship, you've become tasteless in your discipleship. You're not a true follower of mine. That's why he said, he used this principle in many different ways. It is useless. And then he says this, he who has an ear, let him hear. Now the reason why I say that is communion is a public witness that you're Jesus' follower. Yes or no? I just want you to know what the requirements of discipleship for Jesus are. That's what preachers don't preach today. As I get older, I'm beginning to realize that preachers have no care for their flock. For if you cared for your child, would you say to him, please don't play on the freeway, please don't speed, please be careful, don't do that, or would you just let the kid do whatever he wants? See, that's what preachers are doing today. They're letting everybody who follows Jesus do what they want. Jesus never taught that. But if you do teach this, most of Jesus' followers, it says, withdrew from him. Because they go, I'm not going to pay this cost. What are you? And that's what we're facing. So I see these big churches. I have one simple question. I wish we were bigger. I really do. But here's a question you ask yourself. Very rarely in a church that is big will you ever hear something like this. Because it separates the true disciples of Jesus from those who like a social club church. Because most churches, big churches, are community social clubs. What do you think the home Bible studies are most of the time? We use the excuse of a Bible study to have fellowship with each other, to have a social club, like Masonic temples, I guess. I don't know. Pastor Dave, this hasn't made me feel good. Every once in a while I have to do this. I don't take my way to do it, but I want to tell you what Jesus really said. So today, as we take communion, Jesus would ask us this. If you're going to say you're my disciple and you want to be my disciple, CTC, CTC, count the cost.